My name is Lewis Curtis. I work with DPE. And today we're talking to Michael Manis around data center leadership, around infrastructure as IT pros and developers bleed into leadership positions and manage data centers and technology. Where is it going and what does it mean to be a leader in this space? And one of the things we're interviewing today is Michael Manis. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for being here at TechEd in Orlando this year. And we're very interested in one of the things today. You are the general manager leading GFS for all of our data centers. Is that right?
That's correct. Today, Data Center Services is a group inside Global Foundation Services that has responsibility for the design, construction, and long-term operation of all of our data centers around the world.
And how big? You know, yesterday there was a keynote that talked about massive data centers around Microsoft's investment in a lot of servers and capabilities that were competing with Google and Yahoo and other competitors. How big are these data centers?
Well, I guess the first thing to keep in mind is, you know, the development of our data center program is really in support of our software plus services business. And the real key aspect of software plus services is giving your users a very good user experience. So when they use your products and services, they're getting the very best performance and they're getting the very best features and functionality that they possibly can have. In order to deliver that kind of user experience, you have to have a significant amount of infrastructure laid out across the planet so that your users have access to that infrastructure, have access to those services and products close by them. So in order to deliver that, you need to build data centers in support of that model. So we have tens of data centers across the globe today. Those facilities range in size, but they're pretty significant. We measure everything based on power, and when we talk about power, we're talking about megawatts, tens of megawatts, or even hundreds of megawatts of capability and capacity that we can bring to bear on behalf of our customers.
One of the things that your responsibility is building, you know, a lot of people say you're our lead to design the data centers to compete with like Google's Googleplex environment, and what is it like? I mean, that is an awesome responsibility. How did you grow into that leader? What made Michael Manis?
I don't know. Sheer terror and fear of screwing up, I guess. You know, it is a gigantic challenge for us to build out this kind of infrastructure. And I tend to struggle more against myself and our own ability to compete against ourselves. And can we constantly strive to do something better? I think, you know, we can look at our competitors and what they're doing, but I'm not quite sure they're the real enemy. I think to some degree we are our own real enemy in terms of how we think about these problems. And can we think about problems a little bit more out of the box? Can we think about and really drive a different set of technology solutions to deliver this need? And that's really how we focus in our group, how we focus the problem space. So if you try to compare and contrast yourself with others, you're going to have similar products and you're going to have similar solutions to the same thing. Sure. We'd rather have our own products and solutions in this space and do it the best way we know how.
Well, speaking of that, you've come up with your team, which is just an amazing team, that you've come up with some really unique approaches to what it means to have a data center today. And so can you talk about some of those things around how you're approaching data centers differently?
Well, we have two guiding principles. One is challenge the status quo in everything. You know, and one of the things that we've discovered as we've built out this infrastructure across the planet, we really dug into the science and the math at very, very significant levels. Some of the long-held traditional beliefs don't necessarily hold up anymore. And when you start to challenge those beliefs and you start to think a little bit differently about the problem space, really good things come to fruition. The other, we talk about this internal challenge internally of how do we take and bring this idea of exponential phenomenon or Moore's law to the data center itself. What interesting things can we do in the data center? If you look at a data center built 20 years ago and one built 2 years ago, they're remarkably the same. There's not a whole lot of change. But if you look at the equipment, the network gear, the server equipment inside that facility, it's vastly different. The amount of capacity or MIPS or storage or whatever it is you want to measure has doubled and quadrupled in that time frame. So how do we bring Moore's law to the data center? And right now, the big focus in data centers in running this infrastructure is all around efficiency. How can I more efficiently run my facility so that more watts are going to real useful, productive work in the data center versus supporting that work? And the measurement we use internally is something called PUE, Power Utilization Effectiveness. And our goal is to have the distance to one, reduce the overhead every 2 years by half, having the distance to one rather.
Well, there's this incredible change that happened maybe 6 years ago, where processors like 6 years ago used like 20 something watts, and very, and then computers used very little electricity compared to today, and there's this steep increase of electricity usage per machine. And when you look at the scale that you're talking about, it adds up quite quickly. That data centers were utilizing just 1 megawatt, maybe 8 years ago, are utilizing a lot more today in the given, in the same type of server environments.
Well, I don't know if I buy into that. I think from a power consumption perspective, the power of a 1U box or a 2U box has remained somewhat static. Now, the power per core and a lot of the things inside that box, you're having an increased number of cores per box and more stuff happening inside the box itself. But from a power perspective, I don't know if I've seen so... there's definitely a trend upwards in terms of power. That is until the last 2 years. So it was marching fairly significantly up. But in the last 2 years, I've seen the marked focus on driving efficiency per core the concern around the power consumption from chip providers, chip manufacturers, etc., that's actually been going down. And even how we procure, that's been going down. But there's no doubt that energy inside data centers is the primary metric to measure by, right? We measure all of our data centers on power, all the bill back and chargeback mechanisms with regards to the data center infrastructure all boils down to the power itself. Everything is around power. If you think about to build a data center at the size and the scale that we build, these multi-megawatt facilities, 82% roughly of the total costs are just to deliver the electrical and mechanical infrastructure of those buildings. So your capital costs up front are all in electrical and mechanical costs. Christian Bellotti, who works in Global Foundation Services, is our power and cooling architect. And he did a graph when he was with HP a couple of years ago that said at some point in the future, the infrastructure and power costs are going to exceed the capitalization of the servers that go in that. We saw that trend take place in 2008. In 2008, the cost of a server over its life is nowhere near as important as the cost of infrastructure and power usage of that server in the facility.
All right, let me get this straight, because this is an important point. You're saying that the cost in electricity for that server is more than the cost of just buying the server.
That's correct.
The box.
And it's aggravated even more when you take in and you layer in the building infrastructure costs on top of that. So as a business manager, as a traditional IT manager running a data center, the cost of 1U box is nothing compared to the power consumption and the infrastructure costs it takes to deliver that power to that box.
Wow. I mean, as as somebody in software architecture, when we're dealing with the infrastructure or development, we see that is something that people really don't pay attention to that much. You think about scalability, you think about availability, you think about security, energy consumption. It's just not on the radar. Hasn't been. All of a sudden, what you're saying, we need to really think what we consider as architects, you know, in the software world.
I think it's going to become a more important component of how we write code. When you think at sort of the cloud services layer, where I typically build my facilities in support of, power is a pretty significant factor, and power and energy costs are something that we expose, again, through our chargeback mechanisms internally. We give visibility to that to the actual end users, the developers themselves, who are coding this. So they can actually see what the impact of their code is and what the ultimate energy bill is as a result. And we've got lots of examples of people, product groups internally, making decisions to move towards more energy efficient code than performant code, primarily based on its energy consumption and the cost that would be relayed back to that business unit. Because if you think about it, you know, we'll have 500 million unique individuals come to our websites and products and services every month. Now, that represents hundreds of millions, billions of transactions and queries. And so how you architect the software actually has a pretty significant impact on your overall operating costs.
Wow. I mean, so speaking of that, so does software, how we design software, does that really play a role in reducing the electricity?
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. I think, and I was doing another talk here at this event, and I said I didn't want to be Pollyanna about it, but this idea of the magic of software, what can software really do to bring significant advancements in data center, something that's historically been big infrastructure, gigantic generators and, you know, big chillers and all this stuff. And can software really make a play there? And it can, right? Whether it's how I design and architect my applications to consume less power, or as evidenced across a lot of the innovative work that we're doing internally to support the cloud services movement, the ability to build redundancy, build all of those core things that we've historically relied on infrastructure to deliver, let software take care of that. And if software could take care of it, you only have to write that application one time, and then you can use it forevermore, right? Mm-hmm. Versus if I have to build out a big data center and put big generators, I have to keep putting more generators in the next data center facility. So software has the ability to have a tremendous and massive impact on overall energy savings in terms of how we design and build our facilities, and long-term solving for a larger sort of total cost of energy, if you will, across delivering this kind of infrastructure to the world.
Wow. This is just amazing. Being that you're leading one of the biggest efforts at Microsoft today in this huge transformation for the company, what's the biggest misconception that you've come across about Microsoft or GFS, or, you know?
Well, I think a lot of people are surprised to think about Microsoft as an operations company. I think it's widely recognized that we do a pretty good job on running software and building operating systems and work productivity suites, mm-hmm. and all of those types of things. But when you start having the conversations with the customers about you know, operations, that's typically the one that they typically are fairly surprised about. And they say, well, Microsoft's an operations company? You know, and the pushback I typically give is, if you think about a company that delivers 10, 20,000 systems net new every month into their environment and has to work through the workflow of getting all that stuff deployed, you know, the end-of-life decommissioning processes around that kind of scale, the ability to bring in thousands of machines at a time and have them up and operational and serving bits to the internet within a matter of hours versus a matter of days or weeks or months, that's typically the one that gets the biggest sort of shock value when you start talking about our capabilities of delivering infrastructure. We've spent a ton of effort in trying to figure out, how do we automate this business? How do we take this purely operational role, and how do we automate it? How do we bring, again, the magic of software to drive out the people, right? People are the biggest cause of outages in data centers. So what can we do to really optimize our processes and our tool sets so that we can really minimize the impact and really become highly automated in the delivery of our infrastructure. And that's what we've been spending a lot of time and effort doing.
Wow. Being that you're building this the team and the your this new environment for Microsoft over the years, how did building this team work? I mean, what did you learn as being a leader to have this whole new team to think this whole new way? Did it work with Microsoft culture or did it? Or
oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, actually, one of the because I'm not a long time Microsoft person. I've been with the company now 4 years. Maybe that's a long time, but one of the real surprises was how fostering this culture actually was for doing the right thing. If you can articulate what it is that you want to do, and you can show a plan and a path to what you want to achieve and accomplish. This company's unbelievably supportive of going after and driving towards those goals. There's I would say that the culture itself has actually been a positive benefit for being able to build this stable of unbelievable industry thought leaders across a myriad of data center topics. So people say data centers, what does that mean, right? Some people think of the infrastructure, some people think of the operating systems. Data center is kind of becoming an ambiguous term. But being able to pull these kinds of thought leaders together and really challenge them to think differently and drive different types of products, it's been an amazing experience. And I think if you were to ask individuals on my team or within infrastructure services or Global Foundation Services in general, you will find that the culture has supported a lot of this innovative thinking and growth for the business.
You know, the biggest thing that surprises me is when you look at some of our competition that's very closed off, the amount of openness that GFS and your team has been willing to talk to customers and help many people, you know, our partners and customers, you know, talk about these issues and try to give best practices and encourage people to do better and have more efficient environments. And how did that happen? I mean, that's so different than a lot of big internet, massive scale organizations. That's very secretive.
Well, it's a philosophical thing to some degree, right? You can look at the industry and you can see, you know, one of the challenges we had, and it boils down to, is data center technology a competitive advantage? And to some degree it is. It's sort of the top tier of the highest end part of the research. I think there's a lot of really good, interesting learnings that we probably want to take advantage of ourselves first. But as you look out across the industry, you see a lot of people starting to explore technology X or technology Y. And we may have already looked at that, or we may find out that, yeah, that works up to a certain point but doesn't scale any farther. And by kind of doing this innovation hoarding, as I call it, you're not really advancing the industry as a whole. And really to make, you know, when you start thinking about the scrutiny we're getting through federal governments across the planet, environmental agencies, how we run and operate and how we drive efficiency in our data centers is becoming key, and everyone has this problem. So you can sit back and let everyone try to continue to solve these problems individually, or you can just start sharing with people what you're doing. One of my common complaints to the data center industry at large is we do a great job of telling people what you should do, right? You should measure this, you should measure that, you should do these things. But if you weren't a Microsoft or if you weren't a large financial institution, you may not have the resources to go figure out how to go do those things. And so part of our program is exposing the how of how we're doing these things. It's not the right way, it's not the wrong way, it's our way and it's a way. People can decide to disagree with our approach, which is perfectly fine, but it's a way. And I think just by showing people a way, you're going to get a much better and broader impact of positive movement across the industry. And if the industry moves up, then we can focus our thought leaders on the next set of problems, on the next set of innovations.
And one of the things that you've done is when you measure, you measure carbon footprint and or greenhouse gases and energy by the application, right?
We measure, to be clear, we measure just about everything. We have a pretty significant measurement infrastructure built out across all of our data centers. That's not just in energy. That's in our water consumption. It's in the relative humidity. It's in the temperatures. It's in a bunch of it's in a variety. It's the CPU, the memory, the disk utilization, all of those things. Then the trick and the magic is how do I aggregate that together and actually take that data and make ensure that data is useful, that I can actually act on that data in some way. And what's the data that's interesting? What are the slices and views that actually have impact? So, yes, we measure carbon emissions on a per application basis. We can do that as a result of the infrastructure that we've deployed. But you don't need to have the kind of infrastructure we deploy to really think about energy efficiency in your data centers. You can have someone walk up to your UPS and just take a reading twice a day or three times a day and understand what their power utilization is and be able to get really good data that they could potentially start acting on. You don't have to have significant amounts of infrastructure to start down this path.
Great. And one of the things, finally, is a future leader in the infrastructure space. What would you advise them? Somebody who's becoming that new leader for their data center strategy. What are the things that they need to think about and how they need to be a leader?
There's two answers to that. One, from a technology perspective, running data centers today is becoming a very broad experience. If you're relying on the fact that you're the best Windows NT person and you're going to rely on that technical skill to make you to grow you into a data center manager, you're not thinking correctly in that space. You have to get broad. You have to start thinking about things you probably wouldn't have thought about. What we're seeing in our organization is this unbelievable growth of people who understand networks, who understand IT systems, who understand facility systems, chiller systems, backup generation systems, all these things, and that breadth is what actually adds value to those leaders. And that breadth, combined with the fact that, at least in Microsoft, they're also tasked with managing the people and managing the budgets of their data centers, right? It puts it grows them, it stretches people who have normally thought of themselves as facilities people or IT people. What I see moving forward in this industry is a real significant blending of those skill sets to be able to address the scale and the way that the industry itself is marching.
That's amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael. This has been an interview with Michael Manis today at TechEd. And if you have any suggestions or comments, just make them online. And thank you very much for watching the interview.